Welcome back to Modeling Winners, where every day we study one life worth modeling and pull out a few winning tactics you can actually use. Today's episode is Gary Woodland. Gary Woodland faced plenty of resistance on his path to Golf Summit, a basketball scholarship that promised easier glory, a PGA Tour that sorted the merely good from the great with cold efficiency, and the quiet doubt that comes from choosing the lonelier sport. Instead of retreating to the comfort of the team game or settling for respectable mediocrity, he sharpened his weaknesses into weapons long enough to win a U.S. Open and long enough to face an opponent no amount of driving distance could defeat. The moment before everything changed. It is not that the great battles of life announce themselves with trumpets, but that they arrive on a Tuesday morning with a doctor's calm voice and a word that sounds clinical until it lands in your chest. Lesion. Gary Woodland, who had conquered Pebble Beach and held a major championship trophy above his head, now faced a different kind of test, one that required neither a 7-iron nor a fade into the wind, but something far more ordinary and far more terrible, the courage to admit that he was frightened. The world loves a comeback story, but it rarely lingers on the middle chapters, the ones where the hero does not yet know if he will come back at all. This is where Woodland's story becomes not merely interesting, but essential, because the real question is never whether a man can win a U.S. Open. The real question is whether he can face brain surgery with the same steady hands that once gripped a putter on the 18th green. Origins. The athlete who chose wrong twice. Gary Woodland was born in Topeka, Kansas, on May 21, 1984, into a world that believed tall boys with quick feet belonged on basketball courts. And for a long time, he agreed. The orthodoxy of American sports decreed it. If you are 6'3" and can move, you play basketball. If you can shoot, you play Division I basketball. If you are good enough, you go professional. Woodland followed the script. He earned a scholarship to Washburn University, then transferred to the University of Kansas, a cathedral of college basketball, where the roar of the Allen Fieldhouse crowd is not background noise, but liturgy. This was the ordinary world, and it was a good one. It promised structure, teammates, a future sketched in familiar lines. But here is the strange thing about destinies. They do not always arrive in the shape we expect. Woodland began spending time on the golf course, not as rebellion, but as curiosity. The game fascinated him, the solitary nature of it, the impossibility of blaming a teammate, the way a bad swing could ruin a hole, a round, a tournament, and no one could fix it but you. The modern athlete is told to specialize early, to commit wholly, to burn all other bridges. Woodland did the opposite. He played basketball. He played golf. He lived in the tension between two callings, neither willing to release him. This was not indecision. It was the rare courage to refuse premature certainty. When he finally chose golf in 2007, turning professional after his amateur career, he chose the harder path. Basketball offered team cover, shared blame, the comfort of five bodies moving in orchestrated rhythm. Golf offered only him, a club, and the merciless arithmetic of strokes gained and lost. Rising through the ranks, the long apprenticeship. The PGA Tour does not grant membership lightly. It is a gauntlet disguised as a garden party, pristine fairways and polite applause masking a Darwinian sorting mechanism that ejects the weak with brutal efficiency. Woodland entered this world in 2009, and for years he occupied the uncomfortable middle, good enough to stay, not yet great enough to dominate. His first victory came in 2011 at the Transitions Championship. It was significant, but not seismic. The golf world nodded politely. Another promising player wins a tour event. The pattern holds. But Woodland was not merely promising. He was building something. His drives were not just long, but pressurized, carrying the compression of focused intention. His iron play sharpened. His putting, once a weakness, became reliable through sheer repetitive discipline. He won again in 2018 at the Waste Management Phoenix Open, the circus of golf tournaments, where 20,000 fans turned the 16th hole into a gladiatorial arena. These victories were not flukes. They were evidence of a man methodically eliminating his deficiencies. The modern athlete is told to play to your strength. Woodland did the opposite. He attacked his weaknesses with the relentless patience of a craftsman planing a warped board until it lies flat. Yet major championships remained elusive. The U.S. Open, the Masters, the PGA Championship, the Open. These were the summits that separated the excellent from the immortal. Woodland had approached them before. He had played well, he had finished in the top 10, but he had not won. The lesson here is not about talent. Woodland had that in abundance. The lesson is about proximity. He kept showing up to the hardest tests, kept placing himself in contention, kept refusing to accept that second-tier excellence was his ceiling. Persistence is not romantic. It is the quiet decision to return to the site of previous disappointment and try again. The crucible, Pebble Beach, and the weight of expectation. The 2019 U.S. Open was held at Pebble Beach, the most beautiful torture device in American golf. The course is both postcard and predator, cliffs and ocean and cypress trees framing holes that punish the slightest error. This was not just another tournament. This was the major championship every American golfer dreams of winning on a course that exists at the intersection of natural grandeur and sporting terror. Woodland arrived with a lead. Brooks Koepka, already a two-time defending U.S. Open champion, lurked behind him. The orthodoxy said Koepka would win. He was the man built for majors, the machine that processed pressure into birdies. Woodland was the talented outsider, the almost but not yet contender. But here is the paradox. The moment you believe you are supposed to lose is the moment you are free to win. Woodland did not collapse. He did not flinch. On the 14th hole, facing a delicate chip from a difficult lie, he executed one of the most audacious shots in U.S. Open history, a flop shot that landed softly, rolled gently, and stopped inches from the hole. It was not merely skillful. It was a declaration. I belong here. He held off Koepka. He held off the entire field. He won by 3 strokes, his name etched permanently into the list of U.S. Open champions. The trophy ceremony was joyful, his family present, his dream realized. The sports world celebrated his achievement. What they did not know, what Woodland himself did not yet know, was that this victory was not the end of his story. It was the preparation, the test that no one trains for. In 2023, Gary Woodland was diagnosed with a lesion on his brain. The medical details are clinical. A mass detected, surgery required, a 9-month hiatus from professional golf. But the emotional reality is something else entirely. This was not a torn ligament or a herniated disc. This was his brain, the organ that controls thought, movement, identity itself. The surgery was performed in September 2023. Woodland, who had faced pressure on the 18th green at Pebble Beach with calm resolve, now faced a different kind of test. The surgery table, the anesthesia, the unknowable outcome. Professional athletes are trained to control their bodies with precision. Brain surgery removes that illusion. You are no longer the agent, you are the patient. The modern sports narrative loves to say that champions are mentally tough. But mental toughness is easy when the variables are controllable. Yardages, wind speed, pin placements. The real test is whether you can remain steady when the variables include your own mortality. Woodland did not pretend to be unafraid. He acknowledged the fear. He spoke openly about the uncertainty. And then he did the work of recovery, not with bravado, but with the same methodical patience he had once applied to fixing his putting stroke. Transformation, the return. By early 2024, Woodland was back on the golf course. He did not win immediately. He did not dominate. But he played. And in that simple act, stepping onto a tee box, gripping a club, swinging through the ball, there was defiance. The PDA Tour awarded him the Courage Award, and it was not ceremonial, it was earned. Because courage is not the absence of fear, it is the decision to proceed in full knowledge of what you have to lose. Woodland's return was not merely physical, it was symbolic. Every round he played became a signal to others facing their own battles. You can come back. Every missed cut, every disappointing round, every struggle to regain his former form, these were not failures. They were proof that the attempt itself mattered. The transformation was not from injured to healed. It was from champion to something larger, a man who had been tested not by competition, but by existence itself, and who had chosen to continue. The lasting legacy. Gary Woodland has not yet finished his story. His golf career continues. His health journey continues. But the signal he sends is already clear. The greatest victories are not always measured in trophies. The modern world celebrates achievement, but struggles with recovery. We admire the climb, but turn away from the fall. Woodland's story corrects that imbalance. It says that the man who returns from brain surgery to play professional golf again, even imperfectly, has won something more valuable than a major championship. He has proven that resilience is not a cliche. It is a choice made daily in small increments with no guarantee of success. And that the true test of a man is not whether he can win when everything goes right, but whether he can stand when everything goes wrong.
Lost to swipe, the moment is ripe.
I want to start by resisting the idea that admitting fear makes you stronger, because for most people, in most situations, it does not.
Okay, that's fair. So why are we talking about it?
Because Gary Woodland earned the exception.
Wait, the guy who won the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach?
The same. But I'm talking about what came after. In 2022, doctors found a lesion on his brain. He needed surgery. And before he went in, he did something most athletes would never do.
Which was?
He said out loud that he was terrified. Not in private, not just to his family. He said it publicly.
But here's my problem with that. Most people who admit fear get punished for it. You show weakness at work, you lose credibility. You admit doubt to your team, they lose confidence in you.
Right. And that's exactly why most people should not do this.
So what made it work for Woodland?
Timing. He said the fear out loud before anyone could ask if he was okay. He named it first, then immediately followed with what he was going to do anyway. It wasn't confession, it was declaration.
So he didn't just say, I'm scared. He said, I'm scared and I'm doing this.
Exactly. And the room exhaled, because suddenly no one had to pretend. He gave everyone permission to be human while still being capable.
Okay, so translate that. When does this actually work for someone listening right now?
Next time you're facing something hard, and everyone expects you to project confidence, but you actually feel terrified, a presentation, a difficult conversation, a decision with real consequences.
And you just say it? I'm scared?
You say, I'm scared, but I'm doing this anyway, in that order. Fear first, then action. What you notice is the pressure drops. The performance expectation shifts to something more human.
All right, but here's the challenge. Most people will chicken out. They'll think about saying it and then default to fake confidence. So if you're going to try this, pick the one moment this week where the stakes are high enough that honesty might actually change the outcome. Not every moment, one.
That brings us to what happened after the surgery.
He came back?
He came back, but not at 100%. And this is where I want to resist something else. We love comeback stories where the hero returns fully healed, stronger than before. That's not what happened.
So he came back broken?
He came back at maybe 60%, still recovering, not tournament ready by any medical standard. And when people asked if he was back to full strength, he said no.
And that's supposed to be inspiring? Because it sounds like a recipe for failure. You show up not ready, you perform badly, you damage your reputation.
Right. And for most people, waiting until you're ready is the correct strategy.
But not for Woodland.
Not for Woodland, because he understood something most people miss. The return is not about being ready. It's about being present.
You're going to have to unpack that.
He showed up to tournaments knowing he wasn't at full strength. He acknowledged it. He said, I'm here at 60%, and that's better than watching from home. And what happened is the expectation shifted. No one was waiting for him to win. They were watching him be present.
And presence compounds.
Faster than you think, because every round at 60% builds a little more capacity. Every time you show up not ready, you get a little more ready. But if you wait until you're 100%, you never start.
Okay, but that only works if you admit the 60%. If you show up at 60% and pretend you're at 100%, you just look bad.
Exactly. The honesty is the load-bearing beam. He said, I'm not back to 100%, but I'm here. That's what changed the read.
So this week, if someone's recovering from something, a setback, a failure, an injury, a loss,
and people ask if you're back to full strength, don't lie. Say no, but I'm here. And here is better than waiting.
What do you notice when you do that?
The expectation shifts from perfection to presence, and you start building reps at 60%, which is how you get to 70%, then 80%, but only if you start.
All right, final challenge. Most people listening are recovering from something right now. Pick the one place you've been waiting to be ready. Show up this week at 60% and say it out loud. Not as an excuse, as a fact. See what happens.
If this episode gave you one useful signal to carry into the week, subscribe at modelingwinners.com. Free subscribers get one fresh story each week, and paid members get daily episodes, companion audio, accountability nudges, and waffle-style progress charts filling in each day you take action.
Problem is older than you think. Someone before you stood at the same brink. They had nothing but nerve, no map, no guide. Their ceiling's your floor. Step inside. Pattern recognition, one life at a time. History's best playbook. Still in their prime. You don't need a mentor, just a battery. Model the winners, take what you need. Steal from the best, they're not using it anymore. Every challenge you face has been solved before. Lies worth modeling, stories worth the time. Is already written. Follow the line. They figured it out.